Hey everyone, my name is Dave Nixon and welcome to the Alpha Theta Flow podcast. This is Flow 669 and today I am talking about changing the world. Well, maybe not changing the world specifically. The interesting notion of changing the world or maybe those around us, the world around us, in order to get a different result is quite common and interesting. I recall conversation with a client at one point where they contacted me and they wanted to work with me so that they could develop skills to be able to negotiate the ending of a relationship, let's say that, whatever relationship means. What their goal was to do it in a way where they were still able to get everything that they wanted out of the relationship as it ended, because they're afraid that this person would find out X, Y, or Z, and so they wanted to do it in a particular way that would allow that other person to respond a specific way, right? The difficulty I had with this, so I didn't end up doing this work with the person, was that this person was not wanting to show up and deal with the actual realities of what was happening. What they wanted to do was to manipulate the situation so that they got the result that they wanted and still managed to save face. And so this is asking the world to change and at the same time remain the same. It's quite an interesting notion. If anything, it is not possible to change a world while you, as an individual, remain the same. To share again from old mate Till Swan. And so it's this interesting conundrum where, when we look at this, this person may trigger us, or maybe this person will, or group of people, may respond a particular way. And we've got to be careful of, playing this out happening. Excuse the mechanic noises next door. I'm playing this out as if it's happening when it hasn't even happened yet. But the difficulty of that is that we're then going into playing this game of controlling reality as if we know how it should unfold, right? As if we are, as the individual that we are, the be-all and end-all and know-all of how reality should occur. And so it becomes really imperative that we, when wanting to change the world, and there's many different ways to say this, that we look at changing ourselves. And so when doing so, the way that we see the world completely changes. But this is effectively the, even if you don't like old mate Jordan Peterson, it's effectively what he was saying by, if you want to change the world, clean your room. It's like if we have a messy room, but we're wanting to go out there and elicit change, even from this perspective of activism, so to speak, there's still some core things that we must address in our own backyard. And if we get upset when that's pointed out, then that shows even to a greater detail that there's some things there. And we can't change or control people. And those that rebel against control, more often than not, are trying to control everyone else. It's this real ironic thing. It's just like, no one can control me. You're not allowed to do that. It's like, well, sure, but now you're in control. Now you're controlling them. And there's a healthy variation. There's a healthy boundary here of knowing what's within our control, rather than having to not wanting to be controlled. And the only way to know not to be controlled is to control someone else. And more often than not, because it's actually easier to control other people than it is to control ourselves. It really is a complex conundrum where some of the weakest acts in history are when people controlled other people. It's really quite interesting. And I mean, in saying that, we got to look at history through both the lens that we get to appreciate now, where we are in human development. I think it's also crucial that we look at that moment in time through the lens that they had. This is what's really interesting around tearing down statues and so forth. Now, as always, I'm not saying we shouldn't rebel against injustice or anything along those lines. I think one of the difficulties is that we often look at the past and look at it through the lens of what we see as a society today. And we've developed as a society for a whole bunch of reasons, which is worth a fucking retreat in itself. And so the interesting thing here is that when we look back on people that had slaves or were potentially racist or whichever, right, which of course I side with the notion that that's not good. The difficulty is at some point in human evolution, racism was a development of psychology. Now, not in any modern day, right? And that may strike people to be absurd to hear. But if we stop for a second and we go back to a time when what we knew was our tribe, right? Our tribe, our clansmen. The notion of somebody from that looked different to us, that was dangerous for a very long time in human history. We didn't have the ability to have a multicultural society at that time in human history. And so a lot of that took a very long time to weed out. Obviously today we don't have that to the degree that it was back then or necessary back then, because otherwise you got raped and pillaged. It was a completely different world. And so this interesting evolution of the noosphere, which really, and the theosphere, which is really the mind and the spirit, right, rather than the biosphere and the physiosphere, which is more to do with the biology and physiology of the world and human anatomy, so to speak, humans. The development of noosphere and theosphere actually weeded out those things, but at some point, all those things were actually necessary for human development. And what we end up sort of get stuck in doing is looking at past previous atrocities and looking at them through the lens that we have access to now. But we have access to that lens because of those atrocities. That's the interesting... It's almost like they were necessary to some degree, not like there was a specific path that human beings had to unfold under, but... It's really interesting when we can step back and look at it as an objective viewpoint, because otherwise what we're doing, it's like we're going back to, you know, we're a 35-year-old male and we're going back to year six and looking at the answers that we put on tests and being like, you're a fucking idiot. What are you putting all that stuff for? That doesn't make any sense at all. That's not even a word. It's like we're belittling what they knew at that time. They didn't have access to the amount of knowledge that we have access to. Even, I remember when, you know, I was very young and the first computer came home, right? The internet wasn't a thing. This, what we're doing now, it was radio, it was not internet radio. But we had the Encyclopedia Britannica Encyclopedia, whichever way it goes. And so, and that obviously would have to get updated. We don't have that in homes now. That's like an antique. Right? And so this is the kind of thing that when we look back on ourselves and we look back on the history of human beings, it's worth looking at our lens now, yes, and at the lens that was available at the time. And when we can do that, we can look from multiple perspectives. Right? We get to see the change that the world has gone through and that we have gone through. And what we start to do is we start to see and ask the questions of how, what do I need to do in order to get a different result? What do I need to do in order to show up fully? What do I need to do in order to not to stop that person from responding a particular way, but to make sure, right, that I don't attract that type of person again? Because often it's just like, these people keep doing this. It's like, the question isn't, why do they keep doing it? The question is, why do you allow it? And the other question is, why do you keep attracting those people into your life? You figure out those two things and that person disappears. That's a powerful space to be in. And on that note, team, I'm done. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you found this podcast beneficial, it would mean the world to me if you pass it on to someone else who you think would also find it beneficial. And if you haven't already, you can grab a copy of my book, Minding Yourself, anywhere online that sells books, or at alphathetaflow.com if you'd like one personally signed by me. If you're an athlete, a coach, or a high performer and you wanted to find out how to find your flow, then check out alphathetaflow.com and get in touch, because I'd love to have a chat with you. But that's it from me. Big love, peace and pizza. I'll see you all soon.